He's worthy of it all. I don't know whether any of the children, if you want to kind of listen better, listen well, you're welcome to sit in the front row here. I'm going to give a very short talk this morning on this thing of who God is as our Creator God. And the first verse we've got here is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Did you enjoy listening to that Genesis 1 on that video? It was so beautiful, wasn't it? There was a power and a rhythm and a greatness about just the statement about how God created the earth. You know, the Bible, it's not a science textbook. It's a book about the revelation of God. And I want to just look this morning about seven things that we learn about God. And if you want to just listen out to what do you think those seven things are? Somebody tell me that something that we learn about God from that creation story. Anybody like to have a go? Get you thinking. What do you think, Jen? He created everything. Yes. What do you think, Mina? He is powerful. They're preaching my sermon for me. Fantastic. What do you think there at the back? He never fails. He was completely successful in this creation, wasn't he? Absolutely. Amen. So let's think a bit more about this. Seven things that we learn about God in the creation story. The first thing, and Jem said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So that means everything in the sky that we could see, everything we're standing on, everything in this world, everything in the core of the earth, everything in the universe, God created it all. I wonder if you've thought about this. There's a few sports people here, a couple of footballers, and who can recognize the woman? Michelle should know. Marathon winner on her shirt, Assefa. And they've got one thing in common. What are they doing? They're praising God, aren't they? They're praising God. And have you often wondered, why do these sports people praise God? Sometimes you find them when they're interviewed, I just want to thank God, or I want to give God all the glory, or I want to praise him. And I love it when I hear that. Why do some athletes give God the glory? Somebody want to tell me why that might be? I'm going to tell you if you don't. Okay, so this is the reason. John 1:3, we read it out. Through him, through Jesus, God made all things, everything, and not one thing in all creation was made without him. Do you know that everything in this universe, I'm not a scientist, James, please correct me, James, if I get any of this wrong, but everything, am I right? It's made of atoms. It's made of atoms. You know, the God. Thank you. First thing correct. Okay. All right. Amazing. We have checks and balances here in church, and God created that atom. All the material in the world. You know, man has never made anything. He has only used what God has given him. And that to me is a cause of worship. Not one thing. So when this athlete's saying, you know, they win a premiership game and they score a goal and they fall down on their knees and they lift up their hands, they're saying, God, you deserve all the glory because all my skill, all my intelligence come from you. There's a verse in the Bible that says, what do you have that you did not receive? There is nothing. When you think about it, there's nothing we have that we did not receive. So that footballer, Ezra, I think it is, you know, his being was given to him by his mum and dad. His breath was given to him by God. Every atom in his body came from God. He received coaching and training, and he used it. But even the motivation, he could give glory to God. In the end, we can thank God for everything that we have, even if we take a little praise ourselves. You know, often the athletes, they say these days, don't they? I'm very proud of myself. And I get that. I can understand that. But actually, if it was me, I kind of want to phrase that a little bit different. Because actually, I'm more proud of God than I am of myself and what he gives me. This week, I had the privilege of seeing Sammy's Lego crane. He showed me the crane that he'd built, and he said, "I did this all by myself." And I thought it was amazing. But actually, when you boil down to it, who gave Sammy the intelligence? Who gave Sammy the Lego? And who actually created the material that went into that Lego? Who is it? God. And Jem showed me her digger a few days ago that she'd made out of some stuff. What is that stuff called? We don't. It's old school stuff, isn't it? A bit like Meccano, if you remember that. In the book of Revelation at the end, it says, "You are worthy. You are worthy." That means you get the credit. You deserve the honor. You are worthy. All the angels in heaven this morning are saying around the throne, as we are seated here, they are up there and they are saying, "You are worthy to receive the glory and the honor and the power." Why? It's in red up there. "For you created all things. You're worthy." That's why we can worship this morning. The second thing somebody said, was it Mina? God is powerful. Oh, so powerful. He's so mighty this morning. It says God made the two great lights. What were the two great lights? The sun and the moon. The greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. And that sun is very big. I was looking it up. You know, the earth is quite big, isn't it? You know, we think this earth is pretty massive. Raywin's the other side of it in New Zealand, and she has to travel all around. It takes many hours for her to get back to England. But you could fit a million earths. In fact, I think it's 1.3 million earths you could fit into the sun. And it would take you a long, long time to get to the sun. To us, it seems quite close, doesn't it? But it is so huge. And our sun is really a star. And we have a galaxy. What is our galaxy called? Our group of stars? Jax? The Milky Way? The Milky Way. Amazing. It has 100 billion stars. Just in our group of stars. Look at that, 100 with how many noughts afterwards? 100 with 9 noughts. 100 billion stars, suns in our galaxy. And how many do you think there are in the universe? Well, let me tell you how many galaxies there are. There are at least 2 trillion galaxies in the universe. That's 2,000 million, million, million galaxies, not just stars. And somebody did a calculation about the stars many years ago in 1980 when I was, about 30 something. The number of stars in the universe, this guy was called Carl Sagan, and he said the number of stars in the universe is larger than all the grains of sand on all the beaches on planet Earth. And that sounded like pretty extraordinary then, but then we didn't even know then how much bigger the universe is. And since we've got things like the Hubble telescope, people have been able to see even further into space. And some people think it's just expanding all the time. We just cannot calculate the numbers of suns there are in the universe. How big is God? And God created the heavens and the earth. And then you get this little throwaway phrase at the end of verse 16. He made the stars also. Don't you just love that? He made the sun and he made the moon, and then he made the stars also. He's a big God. God is, number three, God is an incredible designer. And for that, we have to look at the really small things. You get me here, Philippine and James, our resident biologists here and chemists. The bacteria, the mycoplasma, is one of the tiniest living organisms. In fact, it's so small that you'd have to get hundreds of thousands of them all squashed together to just be one little dot on a page. And yet, it is really carefully and beautifully designed. And here's a picture of it. And in the middle of it, there's that kind of coil-like thing kind of going around. Who can tell me what that is? It's a clue here. DNA. DNA. What is DNA? Somebody at school tell me. Jeb, what do you think DNA is? Someone else? What do you think? Philippi, come and tell us. That we're going to get the scientists. I want a one sentence definition of DNA.
It's the genetic information.
Thank you. The genetic information. And there was a man called. Oh, James.
Yeah, deoxyribose nucleic acid.
Thank you very much. That's what DNA means. All right. And there was a man that was possibly even cleverer than James and Philippine, called Francis Collins, who ran a thing called the Genome Project, and he was studying this whole thing and to discover like the way human DNA worked. And he said this, he said, "For me, the genome is God's instruction book. And that little coil in that bacteria tells that bacteria what to do." And I discovered today, I had to kind of refresh my science, is that nearly every cell of my body has DNA, that little coil of information. And even though the cells do different things, it's the same DNA that tells my body exactly what my body is going to look like and do. That is incredible that God has put this tiny little microorganism, this tiny little instruction book in every cell of my body. Do you have that in your body? Yeah! It's in your body too. These little DNAs, incredible. So big, and yet such an incredible designer. Number four, the creation story tells us that God loves beauty, order, and diversity. I sometimes think, what is the most powerful thing, or the strongest thing I could imagine? God. It's just reflecting the strength of God. What is the most beautiful thing or person or plant or animal that you can think of? It's just a tiny reflection of the beauty of God. God loves beauty, order, and diversity. He says in this chapter, verse 25, according to their kinds. Dogs! Yeah! But they're so different. Anybody here got a new dog? I know. And what is it called? All together now. One, two, three. Rocket! The new Ellis dog. I know we're going to hear more about that. But it's just one dog among many dogs. Is it beautiful? It's beautiful. And there is an order because they can't escape from being dogs. And yet, there is a diversity, incredible diversity in the dog kind. Number five, God is good. Every time God created something, it said, and it was good. And it was good. Louder, please. And it was good. And it tells us that God is good. God saw that it was good. And then the sixth thing, the creation story tells us that we are special. There's a lovely song that the children used to sing called "I'm Special Because God Has Loved Me." I'm special because he gave his son to die for me. I'm very costly. God bought me with the blood of his own son. We are special. But the creation story tells us that as well. Because right at the end of those 6 days, finally, we get to Genesis 1:31. God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. So it was especially good. It was very good. God made Adam and Eve. And the Bible says in Revelation that you have created them, and by your will they were created. We were created with a purpose. The animals had a purpose too, but we have a very special purpose. And you know, every single one of us, put your hand up if you're a human being. We can all do that, can't we? God has a plan for my life. Can I say that? God has a plan for my life. God blessed them and said to them, have many children so that your descendants will live all over the earth and bring it under their control. So God gave them. He wanted his image spread all across the world. And it's our responsibility that the image of Jesus is spread through the good news throughout all the world. Amazing. And then finally, the creation story tells us that God makes something out of nothing. Amazing. Genesis 1:2, going back to the beginning, this is the last point. Now the earth was without shape and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the watery deep. Can you just imagine this? We're going back in time now, and the earth, it's kind of a bit shapeless, and it's empty. In fact, one translation of the Bible says it was a waste. It's almost like it had been created, and something bad had happened, and God was recreating something that was once wonderful. But whatever, we know that it was shapeless and empty and dark. I know people whose lives are shapeless and empty and dark. Do you know anybody like that? God's called us to help people like that. Well, there's good news here. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So over that darkness and that emptiness, the Holy Spirit was hovering. How do you feel this morning? Do you feel a little bit wasted, maybe? Maybe you've been a bit wasted, I don't know. A bit empty, a bit shapeless, feeling, God, you know, do something with my life. I need some shape to my life. Do you feel empty? Do you feel the need to be filled? Anybody here want to be more filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes, please. God, make me more hungry this year to be filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with love and joy and peace and the spirit of prayer. Help me to do more of the things that Jesus does. The Spirit of God is hovering this morning over the face of all of us in this world, wanting to do something new. Shall we stand? There was a prayer meeting in Acts 2. Do you want to have the musicians if you want to just come up? In Acts 2:42, there was a prayer meeting. And this is what they said. It says, when they heard this, they heard about their friends being persecuted. They lifted their voices together to God. And this is what they said. They said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And then they cried out to God that he would fill them with the Holy Spirit, give them boldness. And this is what happened. Acts 4:31. When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Let's pray, shall we? Let's just think about that scene at the beginning of creation. There was this waterless expanse, or there was darkness over the waters. There was darkness, there was emptiness, there was waste. But God made this incredible creation from that material. Let's just think, is there anything in our lives that we feel is a bit of a waste? Are we feeling a bit empty, a bit shapeless at the beginning of this year? Lord, we pray to you. Holy Spirit, would you come into the waste and the emptiness and the darkness that we all have in bits of our lives, Lord? In 2026, Lord, would you bring shape? Would you bring purpose? Would you fill us afresh? Would you give us light and revelation of who you are? In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship.
You are worthy of all of our praise. Lord, thank you that you know every strand of hair on our head, Lord. That you created every DNA strand in our body. Lord, thank you the reason there's breath in our lungs is because of you. Lord, we give you every thought, every worry, every concern, every excitement, every moment of joy to you and say, Lord, you are worthy of our praise. Lord, would you help us? Help us to be filled with your Spirit and to go on walking in that, Lord. In a confidence that you hold all things together. In the palm of your hand. You spoke light and it was. We praise you for that. You are worthy of it all, Lord.
I just saw a picture of somebody very disappointed, and I felt like somebody's heart is broken because they've got disappointed by something. Something's happened that they didn't want, or it didn't turn out the way they wanted it. And you know, when you look at yourself for your resources to fix it or turn back the clock or whatever, you can't do anything. And I just feel that this is such an encouraging sermon and stuff, you know, that God created, God spoke and things created. He's powerful. And we just have to look to him. But sometimes people are gutted and devastated because things have really not turned out so good. And I just feel that if you need to be prayed for, then, you know, find somebody to pray for you. Because you just can get a glimpse of faith back to God again. You know, God can help. He's the only one that can help us. But he can help and he can make things very different. So there we are.
Just on that, I just felt there was a moment for us in different ways of, I just had the word surrender, and we've heard about who God is and just aligning the truth of who God is and his character, and we just heard that verse about behold, he's doing a new thing, but that word behold is really important. It's the beholding who he is and his character. And actually, as we surrender these things, we surrender our plans, our thoughts, our anxieties, maybe something what Michelle said, disappointments and things. Actually, it's aligning ourselves and surrendering, say, God, you're bigger. You're bigger than these things. You're bigger than that. And actually, as we align ourselves and behold him, and as we, I actually just come back from a conference called Sent with a few of us, 18 to 30s, that's probably about 150 of us came together. And one of the sermons was talking about fearing God and fearing who he is. And it's about knowing who God's character is and understanding who God is. And just what Nick has done is just outlaid some of the things of who God is. And I just feel there's something for us to take hold of, even now or as we go, that actually there's this element of surrendering and being, God, you are bigger than my thoughts. You are bigger than my ways. You are the one who spans across the heavens. You are the one who reigns. And actually we have to kind of come under that truth and surrender to that truth and surrender our control, surrender the things that we want to take hold of, the things that we want to protect ourselves with, whether that's disappointment, things haven't happened the way we wanted to. We want to control things. We actually have to surrender to him, the Father in heaven, who is above all things. So Lord, I just pray as we take it at the start of this year, as we hear this truth of who you are and your character and your goodness, your sovereignty, your power, Lord, we want to surrender our hearts to you again. We want to surrender our plans to you again. We want to surrender our disappointments, our joys, the things that we feel like we're holding. And we want to say, Lord, it is yours. Lord, it's come from you. It is yours. Our finances are yours. Our housing situations are yours. This church is yours. Our children are yours. It all comes from you. And we want to surrender to that. Lord, help us have faith to come before you and say, Lord, take it. Surrender to him. Lord, we want to surrender to you. You are bigger than we can even comprehend. And I pray that this year we would understand more of who you are, that would bring a fear into our hearts. Not fearful of man, not fearful of this world, not fearful of the things, but fearing you and what you have for us. Help us, Lord, to fear you, that will cause us to behold you, that will cause us to stand in awe of you, that will cause us to fall on our knees before you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Help us to renew our minds to the truth of you and who you are. Where we have lost perspective, where we have lost sight of you, I pray, let our eyes be lifted to who you are again. Help us to keep lifting our heads to you again, again and again and again, and surrendering to your ways and the things, knowing that you have good things for us, knowing that this is all good. It is good that you are good. Renew our faith, Lord, I pray, and help us to surrender to you with everything. Amen.
Go take your seats. Ivan's just going to share something as well.
Good morning, church. I just want to remind you that our God is faithful, very faithful. In 2007, I think, is when we became Christians. And since I began to know the Lord, I began to know that who he is, how through the Bible, spending time with him. And in the Bible says that when you become Christians, your whole family will come to know him too. And we began to pray and pray with my wife all these years, and one by one of our family members become to know the Lord. Last year I lost my mom, and I had the opportunity to lead her to the Lord. At the age of 82, he was faithful. This Christmas, 25th of December, we lost grandmom in Turkey, and yet Nuket went in October to share the gospel with her, and he was faithful. So what I want to encourage you, read the love letter. The Bible is a love letter to us. Then you will know who he is. Then you will know when difficulties come, we know. Because sometimes we must go through difficulties, challenges, but he is faithful. He is there with us. There are not the people says, I'm going to do a new resolution. Scrap that. Just started with little every day. Read that love letter to us, and you will know who he is. You will know when the challenges comes. joy will come as you read the love letter. He says, I am here for you, as just read earlier, a new beginning. You will know how he made you, Psalm 139. You will know who he is, Psalm 91, 23, 27. Those are things that he really encourage you. In Proverbs 3, 5 says, do not lean on your own understanding by saying, I am not good, I'm not good enough. How can I share the gospel with someone? This is our thinking. But he says, do not lean on your own understanding, but in every word that God has given us. When you spend little time, you will know. You will be able to go and share out there. Jesus Christ says, the Great Commission, we all have our duty to share the gospel with our families, with our friends, with the workers where we work, wherever we are the light and the salt. We need to be connected to him every day, not only when you feel like it. So my prayer is, Lord, this year, I pray that you give us the strength in our hearts. With all our hearts, we want to praise you, glorify you, how great God you are. And he will make the way for each one of us to be that light and salt, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. We're going to spend some time at the end of our service just praying together. I wonder, would a few people be able to give out Bibles? We're going to get in groups in a sec. Is that all right, if people can give out Bibles? So what we're going to look at, I think what's so encouraging, even from what Mina said about how God is powerful, the reason why we even bother praying is because we believe that we're praying to the God who is all powerful. But what Kimberly shared, what Michelle shared, what Evan and Sarah have all shared, is all about coming back to God. And this January, we're going to be looking as a church at Psalm 46. We're going to spend the next month looking at Psalm 46. So what I want to encourage, what we're going to do to close the service in a minute, we're going to sing one song in a sec. But we're going to read Psalm 46 together in little groups, and then I want us to pray for each other, to encourage one another. Maybe there's something specific you want prayer for, but we're going to read Psalm 46 together, and then we'll pray that. But we're going to be doing this as a church. On Tuesdays, we're going to be fasting together if you want to come and join us. But the next month, we're going to be looking at Psalm 46 so you can get ahead. Go to the middle of your Bible and you'll find it about there. But I wonder if we could sing I Surrender. I can do a cappella, Drew, if you want. But just as a reminder, Kimberly just said, I feel like we just need to do a bit of a declaration. So once we've got all the Bibles out, get into groups. You can move the chairs. We're going to move the chairs at the end of the service anyway. But read Psalm 46 and maybe just have a chance to pray together. Kids, there's some colouring sheets down the front if you want to come and get involved. But if you also want to sit and read the scriptures, you can. But that's the formal end of our service. But let's pray in groups. Psalm 46, and enjoy that together.